Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Good morning, Tuscaloosa, Internet World, West Alabama. How we doing today on a Monday? It is The Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. You guys are hanging out with us on the Bama Central YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody watching us on the Bama Central Facebook page. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You can get the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. We are hanging out with us on a Monday. We wanted to thank Derek Daniel for sponsoring the program. I'm here with my man Theo Fernandez. Call Derek Daniel for all your insurance needs, home, life, auto insurance, renter's insurance needs, 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. He's there for me. He'll be there for you. Theo Fernandez is moving. It's moving season for Theo, so he's calling Derek for all of his renter's insurance. So we appreciate Derek for being up on really every aspect of the insurance game. 205-758-3391. We're going to have a fun show today on a Monday. We're going to talk about everything that happened over the weekend in the Alabama football facility. Theo Fernandez was there for us at BamaCentral.com. We want to encourage you to watch all the Bama Central YouTube videos. You can see practice videos. You can see interviews with Kane Womack, or press conferences, excuse me, with Kane Womack, with Kalen DeBoer. You can see press conferences with LT Overton and Keon Sapp. So it was a great weekend, as well as the practice videos that our guys got during the media availability there. So we're going to get into weekend practice, and then we're going to take Friday's program where we played upperclassmen roulette, and we're going to flip it. We're going to play underclassmen roulette. So the young boys are up today on the wheel. We'll spin the wheel and see who it lands on and talk about how we think some of these underclassmen will fit into the 2025 season. So that's going to be the game plan today. We appreciate you joining us on all our social media machines at Theo Fernandez double underscore at Joe Gaither 6. You can find us at Bama Central. Leave us a voicemail at 205-762-7340, extension 800. Let's have a fun Monday. Good morning, Theo. How are we doing today? You holding things down over in Tuscaloosa?
I'm doing great, Joe. I am staying at JD Zaza's house right now as I wait to move into my new place. But yeah, it's funny. I went out of town for Friday, Saturday, got back Saturday night, and it seems like Sunday morning, all of a sudden, the town was starting to get full again. So I think we're hitting that time of year where Tuscaloosa is starting to fill up. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, my little birdies, I'm also out of town for a couple of days. I'll be back tomorrow morning for tomorrow morning's practice. My little birdie's telling me that it's rush already. Everybody's moving in, and the Greeks are back, and the town is starting to buzz once more. So really, really exciting time in Tuscaloosa. Let's get going with the weekend observations from the two practices. Obviously, you just told us, and I just told them, that we weren't there on Saturday, but we had Hunter DeCyber, Will Miller, Mason Woods over at the Malmore facility, and we got to watch all the videos and listen to all the press conferences. So, Theo, what are we going to get into? Let's start with what you saw on Sunday. We'll put Saturday on ice for just a second. What you saw on Sunday, just your time in the facility and some of your takeaways from Sunday's practice. There were pads, full pads again.
There were, you know. I think my number one kind of takeaway, and this has been something that's been a theme throughout, Rico Scott really looks, this guy really looks like he's going to be something. I mean, we know most people have seen the clip of people talking about him hitting 23 and a half miles per hour a few days ago. But just today, I mean, DeBoer was praising him, said that he could play both inside and outside. He's really just someone who does just about everything that you want a guy in his position to do. And he also was kind of speeding through some of the drills that they had those receivers going for. I think I'm buying the Rico Scott hype right now.
Yeah, Rico is going to be, it's going to be really tough to crack into this receiver lineup, to crack into this starters lineup, because I think Coach is still going to be operating out of a lot of 12 personnel, two tight ends on the field, because I think it really dictates to the defense what you're able to do and what they have to do as far as personnel-wise. But I think Rico Scott is fairly cemented as your fourth wide receiver on this team. We talked about it all summer long about, oh, of course it's Ryan Williams, Isaiah Horton, and it's Jeremy Bernard. But who's the fourth? Is it Latavius Brooks? Is it Cole Adams? Is it Jalen Hale? I think through 4 days of camp, it's pretty solidly Rico Scott. I think the speed factor and just anytime his name gets brought up, people's eyes light up. You talk, the powers that be. You talk to coaches and assistants and players. When Rico Scott's name gets brought up, it's, oh, he's a baller. He's a playmaker. So I think you're going to see him be that fourth option and really allow the Alabama depth to get after defensive back units. Because golly, Theo, you and I haven't been together too long, but one of my biggest complaints in the Nick Saban era was him not using the depth as much as I would like. Now, obviously, he's the GOAT, amazing. No, not criticizing Coach Saban, really, but he always recruited five-star talent, right? 4-5-star talent. So you should be using 5-6 wide receivers, 7 wide receivers to really get into the legs of opposing defensive backs. And, you know, Coach Saban was pretty particular as far as these four guys, these three guys, these handful of guys in every position group have my trust. So this is going to be the unit, and we're not going to dip into, you know, 2017, it took a long time for Najee Harris. I mean, it wasn't Najee Harris's final game of that year until he was really the lead back. With Damian Harris also playing a big role and Josh Jacobs playing a big role. But you took him a long time to let freshmen and let younger players get on the field because of the trust factor. And you understand that. Obviously, he's the coach, and that's really what made him to be so outstanding as a coach. But when you're recruiting 4-5-star talent at every position every year and you're deep, you need to be getting these guys on the field. And, oh, these other teams that don't have as much depth, really getting into their legs and really getting into their physicality. And I think Rico Scott is going to be X factor is too strong, but really an interesting piece for this Alabama offense.
I absolutely agree with just about everything you said there. And I just imagine trying to be a defensive back and we're hitting the third, fourth quarter, and, you know, you've been dealing with the same receivers, and all of a sudden you got to stop Jalen Hale's speed fresh. I mean, the depth on the receiver room really is unreal. The fact that Cole Adams is a guy who we're barely even going to see on the field at receiver this year, it's incredible.
Yeah, so I think Rico Scott getting a lot of love out of practice. We'll just stay on the receiver note. We'll just stay on the receiver note. If you are paying attention to BamaCentral.com, then you notice Latavius Brooks was sidelined for the Saturday, Sunday practices wearing a black jersey. Seems like it's going to be no big deal. Kalen DeBoer on Sunday basically saying as much. Let me scroll and get his, it won't be anything long-term or anything like that. It'll just be a little bit of recovery here. I don't know if it's day-to-day, but it's not going to be something that's extended. So, Latavius Brooks having a little bit of a lower body injury is what it seemed like, doing some bike work on the side and missing days. I think that's you know, as far as injury and health wise, I trust Coach DeBoer. I think that's probably accurate. But as far as getting Latier Brooks on the field this year, man, you need all these days. You need all these days, especially as a true freshman. And so if you're taking days off, I know he's not taking days off. That's not the right way. If you're sidelined due to injury, if you're sidelined because you can't go, then you're missing, unfortunately, I hate to be this blunt, but you're missing valuable reps. And your Rico Scotts, your Jalen Hales, your Cole Adams, your Derek Meadowses are passing you on the depth chart due to experience and just time on task, time and repetition. So I hope I'm hopeful that on Tuesday when we get back to practice, that Latia Brooks is right back at it. And this was just a couple of day thing. Now we'll find out a little bit further as fall camp goes on. But that's just a note as we're talking about these wide receivers. Theo, what did you notice? Did you notice him at all on Sunday? Because I think I read that he was on a bike on Saturday, not present at all on Sunday. What did you see from Latia?
Yeah, I did not see him on Sunday. It is unfortunate, as he said, you know, because he looked like he was a guy who was going to win that uphill battle to get playing time as a true freshman. Like you said, I just don't know if realistically it's how much we'll see him now because of it. But also, you'd rather something like this obviously happen now versus later on in the season. The fact that we haven't had much to speak of as far as injury is always a plus.
Shoot, absolutely. I mean, through 4 days, yes, absolutely. Through 4 days, just a little bit, and really not a whole lot of injury activity. So that's very thankful, and you never want to see that because these guys are working so hard. Let's talk about something that I found interesting that I think got blown out of proportion on Sunday. You were there on Sunday, and unfortunately, Theo, I got to criticize you guys. I didn't see this on BamaCentral.com. The starting offensive line looked a little different for a little bit. You had Cam Dewberry playing left guard, and we're focused on the guards because those are the open spot, or that's the open spot, left guard. But Jaden Roberts was not playing right, starting right guard. You had Gino Vandermark starting at right guard. And people took it and yeah. Is Jaden Roberts losing his place? Is Jaden Roberts in the doghouse? Is Jaden Roberts this? Is he that? Going silly on the Twitter machine. And then y'all get a chance to talk to Kalen DeBoer. And what do you say, Theo?
I'm sorry, I don't even have my notes pulled up. I forget.
Oh, that's okay. I thought you would remember it. He basically said that he was playing Gino at right guard over Jaden Roberts because we've got to prepare for what if situations. You got to prepare for, hey, Jaden Roberts pops a helmet off. Jaden Roberts rolls an ankle, maybe. You know, last year in fall camp, he busted a hand. He broke bones in his hand. I don't know if it was a whole hand, but broke bones in his hand and missed time and wasn't healthy. So basically, it's a what-if situation. You're practicing for basically setting up the whole year. If Jaden can't go, Gino's the next guy. This is what the offensive line's going to look like. This is what the chemistry is going to look like. I am encouraged by the offensive philosophy to start, you know, going through mitigating circumstances. If this, then that. If this happens, then that happens. We saw it on Thursday this past week when the offensive line was out there. It was Cam Dewberry playing left guard and Parker Brailsford playing center. But then they rolled the second unit and it was Gino Vandermark running as the center. And so it's like Gino at center, Olas at left guard, and you had William Sanders at right guard. It was basically like, hey, we're going to need you, Gino, to be good at all these positions. We're going to give you this chance. Let's see what he said. I've got cross-training. Yeah. Cross-training guards. I think that's a good question. This is Kalen DeBoer's quote. That's a good question. I think they'd probably start out at their spots and get most of the snaps, but there may be small situations as we go through camp and see how it goes, and you want to distribute some reps there just to get a guy in a pinch, some reps that he's comfortable with if he's put in that spot. And so you got to remember, the media availability How long were you out there, Theo, on Sunday? 15?
Yeah, you know how it is. It's the same as usual. You get those three sessions, and they get you off fast.
Right, and that's okay. That's just what they want to do. You get the 15 minutes or so, roughly, in 2 to 3 periods. And so what the media saw was Geno playing right guard, and so rightfully so, you put it in your notes, Geno starting right guard right now. But it's just 3 periods in a 15 to 20 period practice.
Yeah.
Like the media, this is my biggest hesitation, Theo, in making big declarations after practice, is that the media sees 15 minutes and then, oh, was that you or me?
Yes.
The media sees 15 minutes and then we go inside and write our notes, and they could be doing totally different things. Like, obviously, the depth chart or the order is not going to change too terribly much, but it could change. So when I write Billy Smith, first team, Charlie Jones, second team, Johnny Brown, third team, and obviously those are hypothetical names, but like when I write this order, we could go inside and boom, Johnny Brown is getting the first reps, and like it could be all flipped. Like, what you see in those 15 minutes is not necessarily set in stone. This is the way it is. So to see Geno Vandermark play in some right guard and with the first unit doesn't mean that Jaden Roberts is hurt in the doghouse or any sort has not been playing well. Whatever negative narrative you want to throw out there, it doesn't mean that at all.
Yeah, I think that you got to – I mean, there's no other way to do it. You have to fully prepare for everything. And apologies, I got a little distracted by Voltax notifications, but I think that's really everything that needs to be said on that topic.
Yeah, we don't care about Voltax right now. Oh, my gosh. I can't wait till Voltax 2.0, Theo. I hope it's better. That's all I'll say. I don't want to take our listeners too in the weeds with what we do, but I hope Voltax 2.0 is a much better functioning program than the current version of our Voltax. Now, Theo, I gave you some homework last week, so let's leave practice aside. We'll get back to practice on Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll have Alabama Media Day today. You'll have Theo, you'll have Will, Will Miller, you'll have Hunter DeCiver, and not Katie Windham. Katie Tsoukalos will be in the building today for Bama Central as Media Day gets rolling. So you'll be paying attention to those four great reporters as they're talking to all kinds of people. Theo, I gave you some homework to watch some Billy Madison. We'll take a little pit stop right here. Did you watch Billy Madison, and what did you think?
Yes, I did. And it was definitely a good recommendation. Gets my stamp of approval. That was a fun watch. Loved watching him beating all the kids in kickball, and there were some great scenes in that movie.
Peeing your pants is cool.
And then, you see him all get on the bus. That was a good one.
I love Adam Sandler for taking the bullet for the young kid who peed their pants. He was like, "Oh, well, I'll just pee my pants too," and then everybody does it. It just takes one to be a leader.
Adam Sandler, always a leader, always a trailblazer.
That's right. That's right. Now, your next Adam Sandler, have you seen Big Daddy?
Not seen that one either.
Oh man, you'd like that probably more. It's a touch, what's the right word? Raunchier? A touch more edgier, we'll say. Adam Sandler, single man, Adam Sandler gets thrust a kid that he didn't know about. And so you see him basically adopt this child, and it's a fun movie, Big Daddy. You don't have to watch it this week. I won't hold you accountable. Okay, to it.
I was gonna say things are getting busy here.
Yeah, exactly.
Movie watching season's just about over.
Exactly, I feel you there. Put that on your radar, Big Daddy. Speaking of Adam Sandler, not a comedy. Did you see Uncut Gems a couple of years ago?
An exceptional movie.
That movie was like, that was only one of these roller coaster rides. I felt like I was just oh, stressed out the entire movie. It was amazing. That movie was incredible.
You see, I saw that movie available to watch. I hadn't heard nothing about it coming in. I just saw, whoa, like Adam Sandler, Kevin Garnett. Like, this is going to be such a fun movie. And I definitely did not realize that this was a departure from the average Adam Sandler genre. But, man, that was just an incredible film.
It was wild. It was just bananas the entire 2 hours of just like, ah!
I haven't seen Uncut Gems. You have to watch it for anyone.
Yes. I felt like I was watching a car wreck the entire 2 hours, and I could not look away. So, yeah, you're exactly right. Departure from the normal Adam Sandler stuff. Before we go into Underclassmen Roulette, Brett McMurphy put out his preseason top 25. And so it is preseason top 25 season. We'll get the AP poll here in the next couple of days. I would imagine maybe next Monday would be my guess. We'll get the AP poll and we'll have we'll have the coaches poll, this, that, and the other, which, Dio, have you ever heard my rant on the coaches poll?
I have not.
It's the worst. Do not ever look at the coaches poll, because Dio, let's say Dio, you're the head coach of Alabama. Kalen DeBoer is never filling out the coaches poll. Never. Kalen DeBoer is never taking the time to fill out the coaches poll. You know who's filling out the coaches poll for Kalen DeBoer?
Who is filling it out?
It's one of the SIDs.
Okay, that checks out. I had a feeling it wasn't the actual coaches.
I mean, now, you might get one coach who does it. You might get a couple of coaches who do it. But for the coaches at these – for the Kirby Smarts of the world who are trying to win a championship, they aren't taking 15 minutes to, do I have – Michigan at 10, or do I have LSU at 10, or who's the best team right now? Is it Penn State at 1? Is it Oregon at 1? Ohio State at 1? They're not taking that time. And it's the same in basketball. You just pass it off to your information staff, to your communication staff, and what they do is they look around the country and they say, how can I fill this out without embarrassing my coach, right? So you don't put all, if you're Alabama, you might put us number one because Alabama is a top-end program. But let's say we're talking about a school like Vanderbilt, a school like a school like Missouri. Like, as long as you're not putting Missouri one, and then you're stacking, you're doing your traditional powers. Basically, it's an exercise in, we don't want our coach to be embarrassed by our poll. And so, Kalen DeBoer, they're not watching it. They're not. And even where, like, the SID staff at the Crimson at Alabama, hardworking crew, give them double thumbs up most of the time, but they are working for Alabama and working on Alabama issues. They're not sitting there watching Boise State and sitting there watching Arizona State and Rutgers and Northwestern and Kansas, Oklahoma State. They might catch one other game a weekend outside of the Alabama game that they're working. It is the silliest functioning poll that there is, Theo.
Interesting. That makes a lot of sense. I've never personally looked at it. I've always gone AP, but that is very good to know.
Well, the coaches poll says, Western Tech Carolina is number one, so they must be. The coaches know what they're talking about. The coaches aren't voting on it. The coaches are focused on their team and their next opponent. That's it. And they obviously are judging their next opponent on their last few. But as far as watching the whole country, it's foolish. But Brett McMurphy puts out his top 25 on On3Sports, and I'm just going to just bang them all out, 1 through 25, Theo, and, this will require you paying a little attention here. You with me? You locked in?
I'm okay.
All right. You may want to scratch them down or do whatever you need to do to pay attention to these, because I want your just instant reaction. You want them 25 to 1, or you want them 1 to 25?
I want them 1 through 25.
All right, here we go. So, Brett McMurphy on On3Sports. Number one, the Georgia Bulldogs. He's got number two, Penn State. Number three, Texas. Number four, Clemson. Here we go. Number five, your Alabama Crimson Tide. Number 6, Ohio State. Number 7, Notre Dame. Number 8, Oregon. Number 9, Miami. 10, LSU. 11, Michigan. 12, Texas A&M. 13, Kansas State. 14, SMU. 15, Florida. 16, Illinois. 17, Utah. 18, Oklahoma, where the winds go sweeping over the plains. 19, Tennessee. 20, Arizona State. 21, the Fighting Lane Kiffins and Ole Miss. 22, USC, fight on, USC Trojans. You got number 23, Texas Tech, guns up. Number 24, Indiana, and number 25, Louisville. He's got his next 15 in alphabetical order. We don't want to mess with that, but you do see Missouri, Auburn. You do see, what other, South Carolina. Those are the three SEC schools that he's got in the top 40. So there we go. I'm going back through as you're gathering your thoughts. Here's his note on Alabama at number 5. Kalen DeBoer's first season replacing the irreplaceable Nick Saban started strong, but Alabama stumbled down the stretch. A 21-point loss to Oklahoma and an embarrassing ReliaQuest Bowl to Michigan. DeBoer reunites with OC Ryan Grubb, who was with DeBoer for 2 magical seasons at Washington. Grubb's number 1 priority, find a quarterback to get Ryan Williams the ball. With an improved defense, 7 returning starters, Bama should return to the playoff if it can beat Vanderbilt.
If it can beat Vanderbilt.
Well, Brett McMurphy's nothing but nothing if he's not a little bit sarcastic.
Yeah. I mean, you got to respect that. I saw, and I know this will annoy you, Joe, I saw another post talking about Vanderbilt as a trap game a few days ago, and I wanted to send it to you, but I also just, we've had that conversation way too many times already. I will say, though, South Carolina not being in the top 25, probably the biggest surprise to me there. You know, I think the consensus seems to be that people think Carolina can be right back in the playoff, can get where they almost got last year. And while I'm surprised by it, I would love to hear his justification for it, but I think there's an argument to be made for keeping him out. I think, I personally think South Carolina will be a good team. I think they will be in the playoffs, but I do see the potential for a big letdown season over for Shane Beamer and everyone. You know, they have we know that Shane Beamer likes to lose some games that he probably shouldn't lose, something that he's kind of made a career out of. And if things, you know, it doesn't even have to be games that they shouldn't lose because the schedule's hard enough as is. You lose to Bama, lose to LSU. You got Clemson at the end of the season. All it takes is really one of those other, and I don't know the full schedule, but all it takes is one other game not really going your way, and all of a sudden the season's kind of off the rails there.
Well, from October 11th all the way to the end of the year where they're playing Clemson, it's not fun, Theo. October 11th at LSU, home against Oklahoma, home against Alabama, at Ole Miss. Good, good little bye week. You can't lose on a bye week. Then you're at Texas A&M. You get your gimme with Coastal Carolina, and then you finish at home against Clemson. So that's 6 out of your last 7 games are pretty formidable, we'll say.
You almost have to enter October 11th undefeated. You can't afford a loss before then.
Right, and they're going to Missouri, right? Aren't they? Yeah, they're going to Missouri on September 20. That won't be easy. You're opening with Virginia Tech. That won't be easy either, I don't think. So they've got a really, really tough road.
You think you'd have them in your preseason top 25, Joe?
23, 4, 5, maybe 27, 8. In that range, I think that I'd have them as high as 20, but no lower than 30. How about that?
That sounds fair.
Yeah, I think Lenoris is a really good quarterback. I just had the schedule we just outlined, and you know I'm not really a huge Shane Beamer fan myself, so I think it's going to be tough sledding for the Gamecocks.
You know, on the topic of the team that beat South Carolina in the year last year, I'm starting to kind of buy into the Illinois hype a little. And I know he's got them at 16. This team just returned so much production. I believe I saw a stat that they have really the most production returning in the country. And this schedule that Illinois has this year is so winnable. I mean, you play Indiana. You have a moderately tough non-conference against Duke. You have Ohio State and you have USC.
They got the Indiana treatment.
Yeah. Like, this is just – you should be making the playoff with the roster you return and this schedule right here. I mean, I think this is probably – this is an easy schedule. There's no way around it. There's Indiana – or Illinois, yeah, they really should be doing what Indiana did last year. And I think Illinois returns with a better roster than Indiana had last year.
So it's just around the corner. How many days are we at, Theo, now? We should be
26. I wrote roll call today. We're at 26.
There we go. It'll be here before you know it. Theo, when's class start for you guys?
The 20th.
Oh. So
2 weeks from Wednesday.
You got a big old course load this year?
No, I'm taking a cupcake schedule. I actually, you know, Signetti scheduled my classes for me this semester. You know, I've finished all the media stuff. I kind of raced through all the sports media. So I'm taking basically all communications classes. It'll be light.
There we go. Well, Theo, let's turn our attention and we'll play a little underclassman roulette right after this message.
You need length and girth in this league.
Northport Lions Club and St. Mark Church present a free health fair in honor of Dr. Norman and Jean Carlson Saturday, August 23rd, 8:30 till noon. That'll be in the St. Mark Family Life Center. Northport citizens can get free eye, hearing, and blood pressure screenings, diabetes testing, and more. Now, the first 100 people get a free biscuit and free Domino's pizza slices will be served at 11, along with free snow cones and drinks from Buffalo Rock. Sponsors include Alabama Lions Sight, Ascent Audiology, DCEH Regional Medical Center, West Alabama Food Bank, Special Olympics, Northport Police Department, U of A Institute for Rural Health, the Alabama Department of Public Health, and others. A Northport Fire Department truck will be on site, and there will be lots of fun kids' activities. The Northport Lions St. Mark Health Fair. See you Saturday, August 23rd.
And to a Tagovailoa, the quarterback, who is he's been fantastic.
And we're back here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com, hanging out with Theo Fernandez. Follow him at Theo Fernandez, _. Theo, I know you listened on Friday. We played upperclassman roulette. We spun the wheel. We had a bunch of names on there, and we ran out of time, basically. We ended up talking about, who did we talk about? We talked about Keon Sabb. We talked about Damani Jackson. We talked about Danny Lewis Jr. We talked about a lot of guys. We talked about Draylen Washington. We hit a lot of the upperclassmen that haven't gotten a whole lot of conversation this summer. So I have filled my roulette wheel with underclassmen now. You got to be a freshman to redshirt sophomore. If you have junior in your bio, you are not eligible for my wheel. So, Theo, I'm going to spin our wheel for these last handful of minutes. We got about another 20-so minutes left in the program. We're going to spin our wheel and see how many of these underclassmen we can talk about. So how it's going to go, just like we did Friday, you'll be playing the Mason Woods role. I'll spin the wheel. I'll tell you who it lands on. I'll give you a brief little 2 seconds on him, and you can tell me your thoughts on this player, and then I'll come back and close on the player, and we'll spin the wheel again. That sound like a good plan?
That sounds excellent. I'm ready to go.
All right, let's spin it for the first time. Who is first up on the underclassman roulette? I think this is a fun player. We're spinning the wheel first, and it's landing on Jeremiah Beeman, redshirt freshman, backing up Tim Keenan, 6'4", 315 pounds. really, really been working hard out of Parker High School in Birmingham. Is that right? Yes. Is that right? Yes. Perfect. So he played in three games last year as a true freshman. Only a couple tackles and a quarterback hurry. But you watch him on the practice field so far. Looks like a mean son of a gun. Theo Fernandez, what do you think about Jeremiah Beamans and what he will do, how he will fit into 2025?
This guy is a powerful player. And you guys all know already that I'm very, very high on Tim Keenan. But, man, if Tim has to step to the sideline for a minute or if we're in some kind of different look, I think Jeremiah can hold down the fort very well there. And I don't think we'll see – I think we'll see enough from him to come into the 2026 season thinking, yeah, we really trust this guy to be our starter.
I think it's a pretty good assessment because I think he's going to be right there backing up Tim Keenan as his primary backup. I do think you'll see Edric Hill and Jordan Renaud, but I think both those guys will be much more in the James Smith rotation in the defensive end James Smith rotation. I think Edric Hill will be with Tim Keenan, but Jeremiah Beamans, every time his name gets brought up, everybody just talks about how hard he works. Everybody just talks about what head on straight that he is focused and that he's going to end up being a player for Alabama. Is he going to be a player this year? I do think he's going to get a lot more playing time than just the handful of games he was in last year, three games. I bet you he plays in every game. I bet you he plays defensive snaps in every game. I'll say that. And I bet you he ends up – I'm with you. I'll go right there with you. I think he makes enough plays as one of the primary backups to where when you're going into 26, you're like, that Jeremiah Beamans is going to be a beast this year. So I'm excited about him as a redshirt freshman. I think that he's going to be an intriguing prospect. He put on a lot of weight, and really – you can't judge it from social media because social media is just the highlights of people. But every time Jeremiah Beamans making posts on social media, it's him sweating. It's him running around a bag. It's him pushing a lot of weight. It's him working through drills. So that's at least seems to be what he wants you to think he's about. And everybody else who's around him, when you talk about him, say that that's exactly what he's about is he's about the work. So I'm excited to see what kind of player he ends up being this year. Wearing 92 for the Crimson Tide. That's been a pretty nice little defensive line number for Alabama. Obviously that doesn't mean bleep, but, I'm excited about Jeremiah Beamans. All right, let's spin the wheel. Let's keep it going here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Very, very interesting name right here. I see it landed on Red Morgan, sophomore, 6 foot, 185. Theo, have we seen him over the first few days of practice move from safety to corner?
You see, I haven't been there enough to be able to give you a good answer. What are you thinking on this?
Well, the first 2 days that I was there, Wednesday, Thursday, he was with the corners. And it seems like that has been his summer move is to move from safety to corner. And I think he just adds more length, more athleticism to the corner room, but goodness gracious, how the heck are you going to get on the field?
Oh yeah. I don't know. But honestly, you alluded to what I was going to have my main point on Red Morgan be. This guy can do everything. I mean, he's just such a versatile player for Alabama. You know, we saw him really, I thought, with some very solid moments last season at times. And I don't know if there's a room for him to get in at corner with how stacked it is. Maybe we're just giving him some reps right now there because we know, like I was thinking he would be the backup Husky and kind of working in there. Right? I got to imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that that's probably, I think that he is a candidate to play both outside and inside. And I think the Husky position is such an interesting spot this year because of how much talent you have in the defensive backfield. And I know that Kane Womack alluded to that on Saturday, talking about just how deep the defensive backfield is. Talking about last year wasn't as deep, and this year it's just a bevy of just talent just all over the field. And it's going to be really, really hard to get on the field. I hope that you are doing the exact same thing with the defense as we alluded to with the offense earlier in the program, to where you're getting defensive back. Hey man, I'm a little tired. Well, come on out and catch two, three snaps, and let's rotate you out.
We can afford it.
Yeah.
And I think a player like Red is a big part of the reason why.
Yeah, and so last year getting a lot of playing time as Husky, and let's see what his official stats were last year. He ended up in 12 games, 8 tackles, 1 for a loss, and a pass breakup. So I think that he's still going to play in every game. I think he's probably going to be a core special teamer. A lot of kickoff coverage, a lot of punt coverage. I think that he's an athlete that you really want to ensure you have a role for. But I mean, goodness gracious, you're going to say that about all these defensive backs, and just inevitably somebody's going to get cut out. I'm not sitting here saying that Red's going to get cut out, but the defensive back depth is almost silly. Now that's a preseason take. We might get into the season and say, oh, some of these guys that we thought could play can't really play. I'm not there with Red for sure. I'm just talking about the position group as a whole.
I agree. It's inevitably going to happen to someone.
Right. And so
could be Red, that could be a Cam Howard, anyone.
Just absolutely insane. The depth that is in this defensive back room. Are you ready to spin it one more time?
I'm ready.
Oh, let's spin it one more time. Where's my wheel? Wow! Ooh, we're going to spin it, and it's landing on redshirt sophomore Cole Adams. We talked about Rico Scott, but redshirt sophomore Cole Adams, 5'10", 183, last year playing seven games, 6 catches, 94 yards, 11 punt returns, and 1 kickoff return last season. What do you see in Cole Adams? What will his role be in 2025?
I'm going to be honest. I think we're looking at an even more reduced role for Cole Adams this fall. I just think there are way too many names everywhere. I think we're going to see Mbakwe as the primary returner. So I think Cole's probably the secondary guy there. I think Ryan Williams is too valuable at this point to risk on returns. As far as the receivers go, I mean, we've talked about it a good bit already. You know, the Brooks injury honestly probably helps Cole Adams a tiny bit, as far as that's probably a guy that he might get reps over now. But with Rico Scott, with Hale, you know, with Mbakwe fighting for reps, even Derek Meadows possibly getting into the mix, I don't think we're going to see. How many catches did you say he had?
Six last year.
I think we're going to see a very
got hurt.
Yeah. I think we'll see a similar number. You know, I think that's a good shot. He's under 10 total catches on the year.
All right, so let's parse the slot receiver depth chart. Going Isaiah Horton 1, Ryan Williams 2. You go Rico 3 in the slot, or are you going ahead and putting Latsier Brooks, Cole Adams?
Well, I think we'll see, and DeBoer was talking about Rico's versatility, being able to play in and out of the slot.
Okay, so Rico 3.
I think we're going to see him more in the slot than out of it.
Okay. So Cole is your fourth slot guy, maybe?
Maybe. Yeah, I think fourth slot guy.
Oh. I'm going to go with him a little higher on the kickoff return depth chart. I think he and Mbakwe will probably be both back there. And then your punt return, they'll either alternate, or he'll be your immediate backup to Mbakwe.
That sounds about right.
But fun little player. Hopefully he recovered nicely from his injury and just works hard and stays ready, because you never know. You never know what's going to happen in this college football world. We're going to keep going right here on Underclassmen Roulette on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central with Theo Fernandez. Oh, what a name right here. What a name. Former five-star. I guess you're always a five-star, right? If you are listed as such. Keon Keeley. Redshirt sophomore Keon Keeley. And it's hard to imagine for me that he's a redshirt sophomore. It feels like he's been around the program now for 10 years, just with how much he's been talked about. But redshirt sophomore Keon Keeley played in 5 games last year, 3 tackles, was named, hey, Defensive Scout Player of the Week by the coaching staff leading up to the South Carolina game last year. So there you go. Keon Keeley, how the heck is he going to fit into the Bandit room in 2025?
Look, Joe, you say former five-star. This guy wasn't just a former five-star. He was the number 3 player in the country. I mean, just came in with so much talent. You see, this is an interesting one to me, because I think his outlook now is better than it was a week ago, because I think we've seen – I at least expected him to be fighting with Kelby Collins for some reps, but now I'm seeing a lot of, okay, maybe Kelby Collins is down backing up James Smith playing down on the line on the interior, which I think could really, really open up some more playing time for Keon Keeley. Look, the guy is so talented. If you're winning Scout Team Player of the Week, you're doing something right. You're putting in the work. You're giving the effort. And I think now's the time. I'm putting my chips in on Keon Keeley. I think that I expect to see him on the field next. I think he's going to impress some people this year.
Immediate backup to LT Overton, or
I think that is where he'll enter the season. Immediate backup at Bandit.
Okay, I'm hopeful, just because, you know, I pull for everybody, right? I'm hopeful that he is able to get it right. He went from a stand-up outside linebacker into the Saban system, and then, oh, am I a wolf? No, I'm really a bandit. Got to learn to play with my hand in the dirt. Got to learn to play with leverage. Got to learn to play against the run. I think he's a guy that has a lot. I mean, shoot, you're not a five-star without the tools. I think he's got the tools. I think he's going to have to be fighting Jordan Renaud at that bandit spot a bit.
And nothing against Renaud, and admittedly, he's not the player on the team that I know the most about, but Keeley could have went just about anywhere. He stayed for a reason. I've said this exact take on the show before. For him to have stayed, he had to have really thought, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he was going to be getting some time out on the field this year, and I really think things have lined up. I think he'll be able to beat out Renaud for that backup spot. And I think we'll be seeing Keon Keeley in every game this season.
That I'll go with. That I'll definitely go with.
All right, I guess that was an understatement. I guess we'll see him playing significant snaps in every game this season.
Okay. I think that'd be great for him. I mean, I know that as soon as he makes the first real big play of his Alabama career, if it's at home, Bryant-Denny Stadium is going to go nuts. Because I think everybody's pulling for him, and I think everybody wants to see him get it right and get things together. So we'll see what can happen with Keon Keeley. I'm not out on him by any means, but I'm still in the camp of I'm not sure if he's there yet. Maybe that's the area where I'm like Mason is with Ty Simpson. I'm definitely not out on him by any means, but – am I sitting here thinking that he's going to get 5 sacks this year? No. I think he might get a sack this year. Yeah, I think he might get a sack this year and have some pretty decent playing time. But I would love for him to exceed my expectations and really, really make the Alabama fan base happy, because I know that many people are just waiting to buy a number 31 jersey for Keon Keeley. All right, let's keep going. I got a couple more spins as we're right at 49 minutes. We're trying to get to an hour, so a few more spins left on the underclassmen roulette wheel. Here we go. Theo Fernandez, we talked about Dreeland Washington with the upperclassman roulette wheel, and this time it lands on Richard Young. Richard Young, redshirt sophomore. Is he going to get cut out of this running back room because of Dreeland Washington? What do you see out of Richard Young this season? Redshirt sophomore, 5'11", 212 pounds, bruising back. Last year, taking how many carries? 27 carries for 146 yards and two touchdowns. He had that long, long run. Was it against Mercer?
It was against Missouri.
Okay, Missouri, right. What do you see? How does Richard Young fit into 2025?
I'll tell you, Washington's been real impressive to start camp. I mean, I think I'm guilty of what a lot of people did with him, where you see, oh, Louisiana transfer. We don't really need to think about this guy too much. But yeah, no, we've heard multiple staff members kind of praising him in the first week already. And he does look like he does a lot of things right. So I think we'll have kind of a two-A, two-B with Richard Young, Dre Washington.
How many running backs can this offense realistically support? Can it support four running backs?
I don't think this offense can. So I think, you know, for Daniel Hill, Daniel Mountain, I don't think we'll see a ton of him out on the field this year. I think it can support, like, I would lean like 2.5 almost. We're not quite 3. So I think eventually that we will see one of these two guys kind of separate themselves as the primary second. But I think especially to start the season, we'll see things kind of very evenly distributed.
Man, I think you're like, what you're saying sounds right to me. It sounds right to my brain. But my eyes tell me you're not going to be able to keep Daniel Hill off the field. And so I'm thinking to myself, how in the world are you going to get him on the field? Whose repetitions are you cutting away from? Are you cutting all of them back to get four running backs in the mix? What's the future for this running back? And maybe you're exactly right. And oh gosh, maybe they're just insurance. If one of the three gets a knock, one of the three stubs a toe, one of the three jams a finger, something simple. I think you're probably right. I think it probably is a three-man running back room with Daniel Hill, A.K. Deer, Kevin Riley all sitting there salivating, waiting for their turn. But I do think it's going to be Jam Miller, Dre Washington, and Richard Young all sitting there taking most of the carries. I don't know if it's going to be a third, and third situation. But I think that Richard Young is in for a really big season. And I think the running back room as a whole is in for a much better season than the last couple of years due to the way the running game is going to be structured.
So I think my biggest question on the running back room, this is a minor deviation, is A.K. Deer going to redshirt? Do you think without a doubt?
Without a doubt, I'm not going to say zero. I'm not going to say 100% chance, but I would guess that. That would be my guess.
So you got to be really selective then about which games we see him out there in. Because like Daniel Hill didn't redshirt last year. He appeared in
too many games.
I think 6, I want to say.
Right, and your running back depth last year, it got affected. You got eaten up at running back. A couple guys took little knocks, and that became a small issue last season. Let's see. How many games did you actually appear in? Yeah, 6-1, 244. My man's played in 9 games. 9 games. Daniel Hill, 21 carries, 61 yards, and a touchdown. 9 games, and also had a tackle on special teams. I think he was one of the big special teams contributors last year.
Yeah, so I'm saying he only got rushing attempts in 5 of the games. But I think I mean, obviously, we're looking at a bigger role for Hill this year, but I just don't know how much bigger.
Oh, let's hit the true freshman right here. We've hit a lot of redshirt sophomores, a lot of sophomores. How about Luke Metz, linebacker out of Georgia, Hoshton, Georgia, Mill Creek High School, 6'3", 230. You've got the size. You look like a college linebacker. What do you see in Luke Metz? What do you think his role will look like this year?
Well, first of all, I see a guy that I really like long-term for Alabama. I mean, I covered his recruitment pretty well for WVUA. And I mean, he's 7A, highest level of Georgia football, helped lead a school to a state title. I think that, look, for being real, year one, this is a special teams player right now. But I think, you know, we might see some very hard hits from him on the special, might knock a couple returners out, which I'm excited. I think he'll be a very hard nosed, blue-collar player for Kalen DeBoer and company.
You got the Nate Oates player? The Nate Oates designation?
It just feels like he's trending in that direction.
I think all three of these freshman linebackers, Metz, Duke Johnson, and Abdul Sanders, are going to have a tough time playing inside backer this year if the first three stay healthy, right? But I think that all three of them are going to be valuable, really valuable members of Alabama special teams. I think you looked last year, Kalen DeBoer has said this already with the specialists, that their special team snaps last year, they led the country in freshman special team snaps. And I think that I don't know if they'll lead the country again this year in that, but you look at how they recruited these inside linebackers and you look at the athletes that they recruited, and it's like, oh, you look perfect for punt coverage. You look perfect for kickoff coverage, for kickoff team. And I think that, I mean, he's not going to be the outside guy on kickoff team, but Luke Metz, you get that third, fourth guy on the inside, and you get the boomstick, and oh, man, there actually is a kickoff return. I think he's going to really, really lay the wood on some guys in kickoff return. And will that – hurt him in terms of, hey, you can't be redshirted because we're using you on special teams? Maybe a little, but look at the inside linebacker room ahead of him. You're going to lose Deontay. You're going to lose Justin Jefferson. You're going to lose Nakai Hill-Green after this year, right? All three of those guys. NFL, we hope, for all of them. We hope first-round picks for all of them. That's not really positional value, but, hey, that's what we hope. No matter what, though, graduation – or otherwise, they're going to be gone. And so the room burst wide open next year. And yes. So you're looking at Caden Jones. You're looking at Luke Metz. You're looking at Duke Johnson. Abdul Sanders got a lot of love in the spring. And so maybe you don't need to be redshirted this year because next year, hey, buddy, we need you. We need you right now. And so you may as well throw them out there, get comfortable in Bryant-Denny Stadium, get comfortable under the lights on special teams because in 26, some of you guys need to step up. And I think that you use the experience. And I think it bodes well for all these young guys. And so with our roulette wheel landing on Luke Metz, I'm excited to see you how many special teams units he gets on.
You left out a name there in those linebackers, a guy that I'm really high on for the future too, and that's QB Reese.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
A guy that, you know, we've heard people like Tim Keenan praise him in the past. He's someone who really looks like he's doing all the right things, and I think we can see him as a starter next year.
You might. I mean, and you're bringing in Xavier Griffin, five-star out of Georgia as well. So, like, the linebacker room for the future looks really good, but you got to start grooming these guys right now. Get them on the field. I don't know how many of them are going to be taking a red shirt because of your situation in 2026. So I'm really interested to see how many special teams units Luke Metz finds himself on. I think kickoff return. I think kickoff coverage is one. Could he potentially take over the Robbie Oates personal protector role on punt? Because I mean, he's not 245 like Utes was, but he's still the same height, and 230 is plenty big enough. You stand in front of the punter, you protect him, and then you fly down and basically are insurance on coverage team. I think punt return, I think that's an area that he can get on the field as well.
Yeah, that didn't even cross my mind. That's interesting.
Because you got to find a personal protector. And a personal protector who's athletic enough to go and make a tackle as well. I'm not a fan of throwing offensive linemen out there as personal protectors. Don't necessarily see him as on field goal, but field goal block maybe. So it's going to be an interesting time to see how these special teams units shake out. But I think that's a place that Luke Metz can immediately contribute to the Crimson Tide. Theo, I don't have any more spins left in me. We're right at an hour, and I want to leave you with the last word. You're about to go over to the facility. What do you think is what do you think are going to be the story that you're trying to tell? Because you're going to get so many players today, media day. You're going to get a lot of access to a lot of players. What's your mission? What's your goal? Or what's going through your head before you go into the facility today?
Well, Katie said we're going to talk game plan. We're all getting there a little early today to kind of talk things through. But I'm excited. It's going to be almost just. And I haven't been to one of these before, but I'm here and I'm just going to be overwhelmed by everything that's going on. Like, there are just going to be people left and right. And, you know, it's already crazy enough when you get like four players around in scrums. We're going to have like the whole offense, the whole defense, basically. Just about everyone you're going to want to hear from today, freshmen and quarterbacks excluded. So I'm very excited to hear what everyone has to say. And I'm going to go make some breakfast and prepare to get over there.
Theo, I appreciate your time. I hope that you won't be overwhelmed. I believe in you. I know that I would be a little bit swimming with so many players to go talk to and so many assistants to go talk to. I encourage you, and you already know it, I encourage you to have a story or two in your brain that you're trying to get after so that you know I need to talk to player X, Y, and Z and not mess around with this big swarm of players, assistant coach A and B, and get my story done. So I think you'll knock it out. I know we'll have Theo Fernandez, Will Miller, Hunter DeCiver, and Katie Tsoukalos covering all things media days right there in the Malmore Athletic Facility. I will be back tomorrow morning. I will be back tomorrow morning for practice. We'll be right back on the beat tomorrow morning, and then we'll have our show tomorrow in the afternoon after practice. It'll be Tuesday and Wednesday will be afternoon shows to accommodate Alabama football practice. And so we will have a lot of fun this coming week, really, really covering the second week of Alabama football camp. Follow Theo Fernandez at Theo Fernandez _, myself at Joe Gaither 6. We're going to get out of here for the day and keep you covered on all things Crimson Tide right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
You need length and girth in this league.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.